We continue with the Imitation of Christ. So our Lord said, learn from me, because I am meek of humble of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, because my burden is light. So our Lord wants us to sweeten and enlighten and make it light, our burden. So it's a great consolation to know that we never are alone in our sufferings. He said in the Psalm 90, I shall be with him during the tribulation, his tribulations. I shall free him and I shall glorify him. Beautiful. This comes from our faith, from the faith and from the promises of our Lord, the hope also. For example, if we are poor, our Lord was very poor in Bethlehem, in Nazareth, in his public life. Even the day of his death, he was naked on the cross, yes. Maybe your honor has been trampled upon. Well, just remember the silence of our Lord in the midst of the calumnies, treated as a crazy man before Herod. Maybe someone has abandoned you or betrayed you, your friends. Well, you have just contemplated our Lord nailed on the cross, abandoned by his friends, insulted by his enemies. Or maybe it seems that God is very far from you. Well, you have to just remember our Lord wanted to experience that pain when he said from the cross, oh my God, why you have forsaken me? We have just to mix our tears with his tears, and we'll cease to be bitter. Because one cross carry between two is less heavy. You know, our Lord revealed to one of the nuns, I don't remember the name, but he revealed that on his way of the cross to Calvary, he fell. Yes, under the weight of the cross, the burden of the cross, he fell at that moment because the Cyrene, Simon, was tired. So Simon decided to rest his shoulder a little bit. So he left all the burden of the cross upon our Lord at that moment. And because that, our Lord fell on the ground. Because Simon was tired and he wanted to release a little bit the weight on his shoulder. Yes, we should think about that. If we reject the cross, we let the cross upon our Lord, our brothers, to be heavier. And they may fall. You notice? Our brothers may fall because of our fault. Because we don't carry our crosses. Because let's face it, the cross of our Lord and our cross is the same. It's part of the same cross. In the same way we are mystical body of Christ, we are mystical, our cross is mystically united to the cross of our Lord. It's the same cross. So we don't want to carry it. The burden falls upon someone has to carry it. Someone, besides our Lord. This is beautiful for the religious life in community. To think that you may fall, at that moment your brother will sustain you. But he has to get up immediately, otherwise the brother will be heavier for the brothers. You see why you notice that Benedict wants us to work together, you know, to suffer together, to help out together in the kitchen, the dishes and the problem, for example, if someone becomes sick, everybody is helping, serving, doing something to to make enlighten the burden for the brother. This fact of faith is a great consolation. You know, this is the reason why I wanted to have convents. Because all the saints through history, they wanted, before starting their monasteries, their projects, their religious order, they wanted a convent of nuns to be praying for them before they started their projects. You know, monasteries, seminaries, religious orders, a missionary, apostolate. They wanted someone to carry that cross. It's why we say that the convents are our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary on earth. She wants to carry our cross, but through the nuns, through the religious, through the monks. Don't forget about that. In fact, I say in the sermon, no, here on the 24th, that Rafael Guizar, no? They ask him, what is it, your secret to be so successful, no, in your apostolate? And he said, well, for many weeks, I spend my time writing letters to all the comments in the world I know, asking for the prayers for the mission. It's my secret. So I get the necessary blessings and grace and help, because the nuns are praying. You see, so you want God to bless you through the others. It's because we are a family. We forget that. It's why God wants us to pray to the saints, to Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph, all the apostles, but also to ask for prayers from our brothers. It's the case of the souls of purgatory. So God wants us to cooperate with Him to release them from purgatory. He accepts our sacrifices, our merits. So we have decided that tomorrow will be Requiem Mass tomorrow, rather for all the souls in purgatory of our families, members. So we will have a better Requiem Mass tomorrow. Sing it. And our Lord said, the disciple is no greater than his master. If the master have done that with his master, with your master, the Blessed Virgin Mary, your mother, how much they will do it with you? You have to agree to be crucified, to be carried the cross of your brothers. Imagine to be crucified for your brother. This is the very reason why we become religious. It's the main reason. When we are told that we're going to give our life for our Lord, for our families, and for many people, you say yes, of course, because our Lord did it for us, so we wanted to do it for Him and for many. At least for me, that was the main reason. Yes, of course, I want to be religious, yes, of course, yes. It's beautiful. So to carry the cross of our Lord and of many others, other brothers and sisters, is beautiful. It's a great encouragement. I would say it's the main encouragement for me, at least. I share with you, it's the main encouragement. By faith, you know that it's a great, very, very bear fruits, carrying the cross of our Lord and our Lady and your brothers. It's exactly what our Lady of Fatima was saying, is saying in Fatima. So our Lord said, I want you to console, to repair the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's nothing else than to carry the cross of Mary, to share her tears, her solitude, her sorrows, to have a share. Nothing else. This is a Fatima message. Nothing else. This is why she wants, for example, to Russia to be consecrated to Mary, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, because she wants Russia, especially Russia, to participate in carrying the cross of Mary to repair, having chosen Russia to hold the cross of Mary. It's not yet. So the Russians should know that, the Russians should know that they have been chosen 1 century ago to carry the cross of Mary as a means for their conversion and the conversion of the world. That should be enough to know that, for them to accept that grace, no? Or to ask the Pope for that grace. In fact, it's known that some Russians have been asking for that grace, no? So also, to follow our Lord, his example, follow up, sanctifies all our actions and perfects all our virtues. So, all that we do, the value of what we do, the holiness or the merits of what we do, depends upon the end or the intention that we have. Yes. So, for example, we had the intention to clean the holy face from the offenses of mankind, of my own sins. If that is the reason why I want to suffer something, I will say the highest of the reasons. So that we may ask and receive many graces, plenty graces. And why, you know, the reason why you go to Mass is very important. I ask people, why you are here in Mass? No, I come to receive, to see, to ask for a Lord something and to receive something. Yes, it's good, but something else. Go higher. So they should say, I come to release, to carry the cross of our Lord, to share his cross, to be crucified with him, like him. It's the highest of the reasons. It's the highest of all. Our Lord blessed example. So he never think about himself, you notice? So petition is important. So he wants us to do petition, yes, to ask for things. But it's not the most important, it's not the first priority to ask. To receive, no. The first is to give yourself. Therefore, you are in adoration and humility. In Holocaust, looking for perfection, looking for fidelity. Is it the most important intention of you going to Mass? Or you performing a duty, no? Doing dishes, cooking, or whatever. You want to give your life, your time, your skills, whatever you, for our Lord. Because our Lord is in your brother, no? It's beautiful. This is the greatest reason to have a great merits and value, the value of what you do. Even to lessen your purgatory or to lessen your pains, your sufferings. Because it's a great consolation to think about that. Remember, the faith is what overcomes the world and the devil and ourselves, faith. Beautiful. All this is beautiful. This is the reason of the retreat. You notice? To strengthen our faith, our hope, our charity, our resolutions, to make straight the path that we have, that we are walking towards God and towards heaven, and to fight with more efficiency and more strength and fortitude against the devil, against the world, against ourselves. It's the whole purpose of the retreat. To put in perspective everything, to put order in your life, basically. So God is leading the retreat. You have to think also that God is leading the retreat. You know, the worst you could do is to criticize something about the retreat. No, every detail was planned by God. Every detail, even the chicken over there and the. The birds singing in the morning, the rain, and whatever happened in the kitchen, all that was planned by God. It was planned by God. Every detail is planned by God. For St. Benedict, murmuring or criticizing is the worst sin, is the most evil for a community. Because okay, we are evil in many ways. We as humans, but when we more criticize, we are criticizing divine providence. So it's directly against God, directly. and we murmur or we criticize. So just please never criticize what we do, what we are doing together. No? Yes. Saint Benedict says, you have suggestions, yeah, do it in private. But please, no, never have that attitude of people, worldly people, criticizing more and more, you know. It's very sad. Because it's like seeing in a human manner a gift, divine gift that God intended for you. He planned every detail for you. And you start criticizing the divine. This is ugly, extremely ugly. This is very low to criticize and to murmur. Yes. So this is why it's very important to repeat frequently from our heart, saying, Lord, I unite myself to the intention that you have, yes. When you were having prayed, when you pray to your Father, when you were on the cross, I wanted to have the same intention, the same sentiments. I want to be united to your sufferings, the motives that you had when you were suffering on the cross. This is why murmuring is to descend to the human level. It's horrible, it's ugly, very ugly to hear that, no? Especially when from brothers or from people who are supposed to be having the faith. No? We continue his prayer, Christ's prayer, when we pray. We continue his life when we work. We continue his sufferings when we suffer. Beautiful thoughts. This comes from faith. This comes from faith. Deep, lively and deep faith. When we criticize a brother, we're criticizing our Lord. I think so easy like that. So we do it, yes, we do it when it's for the common good, no? It has to come from through authority, no? Common good comes from authority. For example, imagine that a brother commit a crime. You will have to tell authority. So, today, I am the authority here, no? So you will have to tell Father, happened this, a crime. Okay, I will deal with it. So that will be my responsibility to deal with that case. And usually we do it in private, no? And we will protect the reputation of the brother, unless he doesn't want to repent. Yes, we might have to do it public, but that will be my decision as authority, no? But you never will say murmuring and criticizing in public to your brother, no? Never. If Saint Paul says your brother sins against you, take him in private, tell him in private what you have sinned, what your problem, and you shall win your brother, no? This is the problem. When we start murmuring in public, criticizing in public, it's to break with everything, it's break friendship, break the divine providence, break confidence, break the supernatural order, to break with the grace of God, to put the devil in the midst. It's horrible, believe me. Saint Benedict wants us, the superior, to excommunicate those people. Those who murmur, because it's the worst of the faults in a community, he wants the worst punishment, which is excommunication. Basically, you don't participate from the blessings of God for a day or for the common life for a few hours. God wants us that we resemble him in three ways. So we are like unto God because he created us as his image. That is at the natural level. in the Genesis, when he says, let's create man to our own image. Because man has will, intellect, like God has. So the word of God is the intellectual activity of the whole Holy Trinity, and the love of God, and the whole Holy Trinity is the Holy Ghost. The love between God the Father and God the Son is precisely a perpetual, eternal act of love by the Word of God, in the Word of God, of the Father in the Holy Ghost to the Son, to His beloved Son. So we are we have will and intellect. We are at the image of God at the natural level. But also, we are like God by grace, by sanctifying grace. So God lives in our soul, so that we may become like Him. So He wants us to be perfect like Him, because He has given us His life to us, sanctifying grace, through baptism. So we are not only in our composition, will and intellect like Him, but now we are by grace sharing His life, sharing His joy, sharing His wisdom, His piety, how He adores Himself. Beautiful, it's tremendous. It's our call, our religion, it's really. But also, when he says that the true resemblance to God is because in heaven we will be completely immersed in Him, in His happiness, to His joy. When our Lord says, "Enter into the joy of your Lord, heaven." This is the truth. So the natural level, we are at His image by grace. We partake in His life, and after this life, we partake from His glory, His joy, His happiness completely. As He enjoys it, as He sees it, and He loves Himself, we will love Him. It's amazing. It's really beyond imagination. You notice these many encouragements to follow Christ. Because how you could risk your faith, your sanctifying grace, your friendship with Christ, for a plate of lentils, for 30 coins of silver? How you can sell out our Lord? You have living faith. Your aim is to imitate Christ. You cannot sell out for a sin. And worse, for an impurity. Imagine we have an impurity, bad habits. I prefer that than the life of Christ and His happiness, and eternal happiness. Beyond imagination, how we could be so blind, no? It's terrifying, no? How human nature can fall very low, forgetting all these things, no? Have mercy, this is. To say continually, God have mercy, really. We are capable of the most horrendous crimes, in spite of so many things that we have been receiving. So, in this life, so we have to cooperate with grace. So, means we have to be perfect, like our Lord is perfect. It's an obligation. It's the first commandment. You shall love me with your whole heart, with your whole mind, with your whole strength. This is precisely to follow our Lord completely, without conditions, without obstacles, without having two lords, two masters. But so, in order to do this, we have seen, we must abandon and all things for Christ, and to deny oneself. It's why our Lord said, You want to be my disciple? Deny thyself. Take up your cross and follow me. We win all things and we lose nothing by following Christ. All the other things of earth are lie, vanity, and nothingness. They will tell you that all the saints, all the doctors of the church. Compared to God, all the earthly things are vanity of vanities, nothingness, and even lies, because even they are good, they do not replace God's grace, God's offering to us, what He offered to us. So His way of the cross is the way to heaven. So it's infinitely higher, our calling, than the goods of earth. Whatever it might be. Riches, houses, pleasures, honors. Even they are good. We know they are good, you know. But they are nothing in comparison to God's promises. It's why we have retreat. Yes. So it's good that you are writing down, because we have to remember these things. In fact, it's good to write down, even if you are not already know these things, because time will come of dryness, of persecution, or you are falling, you are in darkness. You start reading, remember, yes, I received the grace, yes. In fact, how do you think that the missionaries, I read that missionaries, in order to convert someone, very often they will recall, for example, the First Communion. You have been outside the church for 20, 30 years, okay, sit down, let's just remember your First Communion, that day, okay, that day. You remember? Yes. You received those things, those thoughts, those graces. Yes, I remember now. And our Lord intended to do this and to do that. Yes. So why did you change that for other things in the last 20 years? You're right. Sorry. I'm sorry. So it's the same for the retreat. So you receive so much that prudence, it's a question of prudence to write down, because it's something divine. O sea, what we are doing here is something divine. Therefore, you have to write down, because you have to treasure and value as a divine what you are receiving. Because if you take what I am saying as something human, you say, okay, I know that already. Why is it necessary? I have good memory. No. Because if God appears to you and say, okay, brother, I will tell you something. Yes, I will write down to be sure. No. Even word by word. And in fact, it's a custom of the monks to have always in the pocket a little notebook. We write down inspirations or questions or advices or suggestions that we want to say to someone, to the superior, whatever. Because God works in present tense. So sometimes God, and the Benedict says, things has to be given or asked for in due time. So because we cannot speak now, so I had a question to Father, but I cannot speak now. Okay, I write down the question. So whatever we, quote-unquote, lose in order to follow Christ, will be replaced by God's generosity. No doubt about that. The hundredfold. You know, it's the foolishness or the lies of the devil. For example, you are going to give up your TV set. No. You could use it, you could sell it, you can... No, don't be foolish. You will lose money and you will lose good recreations. No, I want to lose it, and God is going to replace that with another TV, which is the tabernacle, maybe. Ashwiz Lefebvre says Catholics had the very good habit of going to the tabernacle to adore our Lord. That was the hobby, the main hobby of Catholics in the good ages of the church. But now he says the tabernacle has been replaced by the TV set. And now the cell phone. Instead of looking at the tabernacle, I'm looking at the cell phone now. All is won by leaving behind all things to follow Christ. Because our Lord said, he who wants to win, no, he wants to win, to spare his soul in this life, will lose it for the eternity. And he who wants to lose his soul, that means his life in early life for my sake, will win eternally. No? It says a deceit. Our Lord said, deceit. He wants to give. He wants to give life has to die. The seed is sown on the ground. If we want the seed to become a tree and bear fruits, has to die first. This is the gospel. Has to die first. So we die to ourselves in order to live with Christ and for eternity. The cross again. We see the cross everywhere. You know, this is what Saint Louis de Montfort says. Everything pleasing to God, or everything coming from God, is marked with the sign of the cross. Everything. I will say it's a sign that this is what God's will when it's marked with the cross. Just don't forget, just write down that. You have to take a decision, for example. And one of the options is marked with the sign of the cross. And the others, no, or less than that. The best option is the one who is with the sign of the cross. Yes. We said we will be the light. Light for your supernatural prudence. So we have to, in order to do it efficaciously, this practice of imitating Christ, so we have to know Him better, the knowledge of God, to love Him more and more, and thirdly, to consider our Lord as the model, supreme model of perfection. Saint Paul says, to the Hebrews, to study Jesus Christ, the living book, in order to learn what we need for our salvation. Hebrews 3:1. Because in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and science. St. Paul to the Colossians 2:3. You know, it's especially the modernism has managed to cause people to be ignorant and to be happy to be ignorant, not to care about not to be interested in knowing God more and deeper. It's amazing, but they have managed to do it. Besides, because modernism, you know, is the easy way, the human way. So because to think and to study takes effort, so modernism basically take away all our virtues or all efforts. So no, you don't have to study. You have to take a book. You don't have to read spiritual reading. You know, you don't have to do examination of conscience. You are safe. Yes, hallelujah. So even the effort to study, no, you already had your catechism when the childhood. You already had the sacraments. You are safe already. Just enjoy the life. This is the new religion. You don't have to make the effort to study more. No, you know enough. You know that God is good? Yes. And God is merciful? That's enough. You know enough about God. This is the new religion. It's to cry. We don't know whether to cry or to laugh, but I think both. We have to combine it. So let's face it, nobody love, you don't know, you don't love. If there is a person, in Christ we love everybody, but naturally speaking, we start by the senses, no? To love more someone, we need to see it, to hear him, to our Lord. This is why he incarnated himself, and one of the reasons is that we depart from his human nature to the divine nature. To know him deeper and deeper, God himself, through his humanity. So we go from the cross, our Lord, of his humanity, to the divinity, his divinity. So just please, brothers, we have to hold as a diabolical the new religion. If we don't have that doctrine firm, and if you are not sure about that, you don't have the firmness to have that sentence, come to see me, you know, because you need more doctrine or more proof of what I am saying. Diabolical, the new religion. It's not only putting people to sleep, but they are really losing the faith. They are have a false hope, presumption, and they don't love God. They love themselves. And by that illusion, telling them that they will be saved like that, just by loving themselves and doing, but God, that God loved them as they are now. They are good men, and that is enough to be safe. This is the greatest lie in the history of mankind. Diabolical. Christ comes and he says something. Now the devil is coming, so the Antichrist, saying something the opposite, and people believe it. People believe it. I am safe. As the man who came, you know, I was shocked. He said, I believe what the New Catechism says, that we can be saved in any religion, you know. God is so good that he is saving us in any religion. Ay, my God. Painful. Someone who is a leader of society in Philippines saying that, ay, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's horrible. Because people follow these leaders. Oh, he's so marvelous. He's one of the greatest persons in Philippines, so I will follow what he says. Oof. And our Lord, Saint Paul says, if you don't know Christ, you have his example. You have to contemplate him. You want to see him in heaven, you have to start investigating and wishing and desiring to know more about Christ. Because he's precisely the beatific vision is to know God as he is in heaven. So this is... I have heard many saints saying that the first question in our particular judgment is, have you seek after truth? Yeah. Are you interested in truth? In God, you know, in all the faith, in going in depth about your faith. You know? Are you interested about those things? Is the first question. Unfortunately, many modernists will fail that first question. Because let's face it, they don't look for truth. They look for themselves. You tell them, no, Christ wants this. No. It's your opinion. My friend says this, so it has to be true. So Jesus Christ is the model of that Moses spoke of when he was in the Sinai, in the Mount Sinai, when was told to him, look and do all in conformity to the model you have seen on the mountain. Even applies to our Lord completely, no? Remember, because Moses gave the prescriptions how to perform the old sacrifices, which were a figure of Christ. The sacrifices of animals, how to be the prescriptions of the using incense, using the lavatory of hands, of feet, and the garment, the vestments. But all those were after the figure of our Lord, no? Because in the plan of God, our Lord is precisely the true tabernacle, which was which is living in us, in our souls, in our temples, in our chapels. So everything has to be shaped after our Lord. Everything. It was our Lord reproached Saint Philip, the apostle. When Saint Philip told our Lord, Lord, show us the Father. That is enough for us. Just show us the Father. Let's see the Father. And our Lord said, oh, Philip, so much time you are with me, and you had not known the Father. You had known me. And you said that you had not known the Father. Who sees me sees the Father. His gospel is in our hands, his gospel, we have our missiles. His cross is before our eyes, we have it in our rosaries and our pockets. Very often his body, his very blood, most precious blood is our drink, our food. And nevertheless, we are not interested in knowing him more. It's a catastrophe. Just an example, no, in Mexico, a young man approached us and he said, Father, one question of religion to you. I want men to ask a priest, as soon as I will see a priest, just please enlighten me this question I have. Okay, tell me, where is your question? How did our Lord Jesus Christ met the Blessed Virgin Mary of Guadalupe? How do they meet a role in the history? Oh no. We have to start from zero.